Good afternoon, brethren. If you'd like to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, most of our lesson is going to start here. And before I begin that, I want to thank the elders for allowing me to speak tonight. It's a privilege. And like you, I have to say I miss Josh. And I miss Josh at the end of every sermon, standing back there to greet his brethren. And I miss those fine sermons that Josh gave us. Josh is a man of God. And I told Josh before he left, I know one thing, the brethren will be edified. This lesson is entitled, The Body, the Church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a powerful passage on the body. If you're not familiar with this, this is a chapter you want to study on the one body, the Lord's church. Notice in the first part of the chapter, Paul the apostle was speaking about spiritual gifts in the first century. And in the middle of this, at the end of the chapter, he talks about a more excellent way. And then in chapter 13, he leads into that better way. There is faith, hope, and love, or charity, as the King James calls it. But the better of these, the best of these, is love. And as he goes back to say, even Paul himself, an inspired apostle who could perform miracles in the miraculous age, he said, if you did it without love, it was nothing. It was nothing, because love surpasses that. And the idea is to edify the church and to edify the brethren and to teach the truth that others can come to a knowledge of the truth. What I want to do actually is read several verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, excuse me, casually. And then I want to come back and look at those same verses and focus on some words and some numbers. Because I think God has given us these in a powerful way. He's repeated himself several times, and I believe for emphasis. Emphasis is a good teacher. Repetition is a good teacher. So I want to talk about these verses, then I want to look at those more in depth and focus on some words and some numbers. And then I'm going to come back and ask, as we look at this word body, in 1 Corinthians 12, we want to look at what is the body. That is so important right here. What is the body? Why is that so important? And then we're going to compare that body, the Lord's church, with salvation in Noah's Ark. And you'll see a likeness. So let's look at these verses. I want to start with verses 12 through 14, 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 12 through 14. Notice what he says. We're going to just casually read these, and then we're going to come back and kind of touch on the key words in this. If you were casually reading your Bible, do you ever realize when you go back, you catch something maybe you missed before? Notice verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Verse 13, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Look at verse 20 now. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body. And finally, verse 27 in this chapter. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. If you've not read these recently, or if you're not that familiar with those, what stood out in your mind as you read those? Did you get the idea that there's one body? The Bible tells us here there is one body, but many members. And yet people in the denominational world get these words confused. We're told there's one body and yet many members, not many bodies, not many churches. And that's their emphasis. They want to teach many churches. There are many churches that men have made, but there is one body, one spiritual body of Christ. That's the one the Lord made, the one Jesus suffered for and died for. And that's you and I as members of His church in His body. As we look back at those verses, notice the word body, singular, and the word members, plural. There's one body, many members. There are many members right here of that one body. There are members of the Lord's church in other congregations here in San Angelo and throughout the world. And Romans 16, verse 16 speaks about the churches of Christ. The church of Christ, the Lord's church. So what is that one body? Let's look at Colossians 1:18. And we're going to tie these in. Colossians 1, verse 18. Hold your spot in 1 Corinthians 12 if you'd like to. Colossians 1, verse 18. What is that one body we read about in 1 Corinthians 12? Verse 18. Talking about Christ, he says, and He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. The body is the church. We have that in Colossians 1, verse 18. What is the body? The body is the church. Let's flip back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 or 22 and 23. Notice again he's talking about Christ here. In verse 22 he says, and has put all things under His feet, that is, under Christ, and gave Him, Christ, to be the head over all things, notice, to the church, which is His body. Here we have the church is the body, His body in particular, Christ's spiritual body. So in Colossians 1 verse 18, we have the body is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, we have the church is the body. So what is the body? We know it's the church. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. And I don't think God could have been any plainer than this, could He? We've read that there's one body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many members of that one body, yet but one body. In Colossians 1 verse 18, we read the body is the church. Now in Ephesians 1, 22, 23, we read the church is the body. These are the same. The body is the church. The church is the body. Now what does Ephesians 4 verse 4 say about this body? We could look at Ephesians 4 verses 4 through 6, but I want to stop for a moment with the first four words in Ephesians 4 verse 4. What does it tell us about the body? It plainly says there is one body. One body, which is the church. The church is the body. One equals one. How many churches are there? Brethren, we need to teach people this. We need to teach it kindly and in love. A lot of people are not ready for this. And you have to be careful how you teach this. And there are other churches, by the way, that teach this beyond what I just found out. Apparently the Seventh-day Adventists believe there's one church and they believe they're the one church. I didn't know that. The Catholic Church has taught that for years, believing that denominations, and they did come out of the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church perverted the Lord's Church. But there is one body, which is the church, and the church is the body. One equals one. How plain can it get? So why is this so important then? We want to teach about the church. Some of our denominational friends say, well, the church is not important, just an afterthought. I wonder if they ever read Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, which says the church was in the mind of a God, mind of God, from eternity. And so was Jesus in Genesis 3, verse 15, the Messiah, the Savior. God knew from the beginning how He would save His people and where salvation would be. Those who teach that the church is unimportant have actually said that Jesus came to set up an earthly kingdom, which we know He didn't, John 18, verse 36, and the Jews stopped Him. Do you believe that anybody could stop the Son of God from doing what He came to do? On the cross, what did Jesus say? It is finished. He said, I have finished the work in John 17 that God had given Him to do. He finished everything He came to do. No one stopped Jesus from doing anything. So we know the body is the church. The church is the body. And there is one body. So why is that so important? Because most of the religious world doesn't know that or doesn't believe it. And the way to teach them, I believe, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and these verses. Colossians 1 verse 18, Ephesians 1 verses 22 and 23, and Ephesians 4 verses 4 through 6. Here's another verse that should cinch it. The body is the church. The church is the body. There's one body. That's one church. It's the Lord's church. And you can identify the Lord's church if we look into the New Testament. The church that worships as the early church did, that's the Lord's church. John 4, verses 23 and 24. But look at Ephesians 5, verse 23. And I'll bring my lesson to an end. Why is it so important to understand that there's one body, which is the church? Because Ephesians 5 verse 23 says Christ is the Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior of that one body. That one body is His church. That one body is His people. Who will God save in the end? He's going to save His faithful people. And no one else. His people that are faithful in that one body. Why is it so important? Because people need to know how to be saved, and they don't. So many don't. If we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, and verses 41 and 47, we find where salvation is. Ephesians 5, verse 23 tells us Christ is the Savior of the body, that one body, His church, His people. The question is, how do you get into that one body? Can you believe your way into it? Can you think your way into it? Can you live a good life and be saved? If that were the case, why did Jesus come and suffer and die for us? Jesus is the Savior, and He's given us the plan of salvation. The one body, the church, that's where salvation is. Look at verse 41, verses 41 and 47 of Acts chapter 2. A major denomination teaches today you must receive Christ. And they're right on that part. Question is, how do you receive Christ? Can you receive Christ and reject His Word? No, you can't. We find the early Christians that obeyed the gospel, 3,000 people, 3,000 Jews of that day, when they heard the first gospel message and they realized that they had helped crucify the Messiah, and they were pricked in good and honest hearts, they said, what can we do? They wanted to know. What can we do? And Peter told them, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repent, turn away from your sins. And he said something else. That little conjunction, and be baptized in the name or authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Baptism is for the remission of sins. You see, a lot of people belittle the church. A lot of people belittle baptism. But Jesus didn't. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Ask people, do you really believe that? How can you say you believe that? How can you say you receive Christ when you reject His Word? But look at Acts 2, verse 41. They heard the gospel message. They asked, what can we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or authority of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission or forgiveness of your sins. Okay? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 41. I'm sorry. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized. How did they receive the Word of Christ? They believed it and they obeyed it. They did not argue and say, well, I don't think the thief on the cross was baptized. We don't read that, do we? The thief on the cross is not the Savior. And how He was saved is not how men are saved today. Jesus gave the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. This was given after Jesus and the thief had died on the cross and Jesus had risen from the grave. That's the Great Commission. That's what we need to teach. So how does one get into the church, that one body where salvation is? Isn't that where you want to be? Isn't that where you need to be? How did the saved get there? Look at verses 41 and 47 again, Acts chapter 2. And the Lord added to their number about 3,000 souls who believed and obeyed the gospel. Verse 47, what does it tell us? And the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Where is salvation? Salvation is in the church. The church is that one body, that one church. That's where the saved are. Who put them there? Jesus did. They didn't join some church somewhere. And notice, 2,000 years ago, when the Lord added those first believers who obeyed the gospel to His church, there was no church to add to except His. And it's still true today. The Lord adds the saved to His church, where He's going to save them. Think about, real quickly, Noah's Ark and the church. If you notice Genesis 6, verses 8 through 14 and verse 22, God looked down from heaven and realized that man had corrupted his way upon the earth. He saw nothing but evil continually. But we're told something about Noah and his family. Noah found grace. Noah found, Noah found unmerited favor. And we know why he and his family would be saved. Look at verse 22. Noah did all that God told him to do. Didn't do some of it. Didn't do part of it. So did Noah according to what God tells him to do. He did all. God told them to build an ark, but He didn't leave it there, did He? Did He leave it to man how to build the ark or the temple or the tabernacle? He not only told them how to build it, and when to build it, but He gave them the materials, provided the materials, and He put special wisdom in certain men who could do that. God had a plan, and that's what He wanted done. Notice in chapter 7, verses 13 and 16, not only did God tell Noah and his family, those eight individuals, those eight souls that He was about to save from the worldwide flood, to build the ark, and He told them how to build it, what kind of wood to use, where to put the window, where to put the door. And did you notice also He told them when to go in? And He told them what animals to take, two pair of the unclean and seven pair of the clean animals. And then He told them when to go in. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Notice chapter 8, verses 15 through 19. When it was time, God told them when to come out. And the people that came out of the ark were the only ones that were saved. Where was salvation for Noah and his family? They were in the ark. Or salvation was in the ark. Because that's where God put it at that moment in time. And they believed God and they obeyed God. Today, salvation is in the Lord's church. The church is of the utmost importance because that's where salvation is, in the Lord's church. We see that in Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body, and that is the one church, the Lord's church. We need to be able to identify that church and to worship as that church did. That's the church that was guided into all truth. John 14, verse 26, John 16, verse 13. How do we know that church that we read about in the New Testament was the Lord's church? It was guided into all truth. Think about that truth for a minute, John 8, verses 31, 32. What did Jesus say about that? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing about the Lord's church and the oneness of it and salvation in it is that truth that people need to know. Ephesians 5, verse 23, Christ is the Savior of the body, that one body, His church that continues faithful. I want to offer the invitation now, and I want to ask you this question I'm asking myself as well. Where are you right now? Are you in the Lord's church? Are you in that one body? Have you obeyed the gospel? Did the Lord add you to His church when you obeyed His gospel? When you did His will? You know, Matthew 7, 21 through 23 is a powerful passage that many people don't seem to understand. And it qualifies those who call upon the name of the Lord in Romans 10, 13 through 17. Calling on the name of the Lord, you will be saved, but it tells us how to call upon Him. And that's by faith, which comes by the Word. And the Word tells us what to believe and what to obey. So where are you right now? Are you in the Lord's church? Have you been added to the church by the Lord? Were you baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you now, if you are a member of the church, are you faithful? And I know we all stumble, we all have our weaknesses, and God knows that. But we cannot be saved by just trying to live a good life. We need to tell our neighbors that, because I think 3 out of 4 Americans believe that. They believe there are many good people in all churches. They believe that all good people are going to be saved. And yet the book of Romans tells us, chapter 3 and 5, there is none good. There's none good or righteous before God except in Christ. And that's the only way to do it. So where are you this evening? Are you in the Lord's church? Are you among the saved? Think about this. One last passage, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, talks about Jesus in the end. When He comes, He's going to deliver up that spiritual kingdom, the church of the saved. He's not coming to set it up. It's already here. Or He couldn't deliver it up. He's coming to deliver it up. And we will meet Him in the air. And it says, and so, in like manner, shall we ever be with the Lord in the air. John 18, verse 36 says there won't be a physical kingdom. It's impossible. But the spiritual kingdom was set up 2,000 years ago. That's that one body we read about, the church. So again, I ask you this. Have you obeyed the gospel? The Bible tells us that you need to hear the word, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how God will wash away your sins and my sins. He's going to do it His way, and that's what He tells us. And we need to understand that. We need to be able to teach that and help people understand. The church is not an afterthought. It was in the mind of God from eternity. The church is of the utmost importance because in the end, if you and I are found faithful in the Lord's church, you and I are going to fly away with Jesus when He comes back. He's going to deliver up that spiritual kingdom, you and me, hopefully as we keep the faith. I want to ask you this evening, if you are a member of the Lord's church and you're having trouble remaining faithful, God can help you live that Christian life. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God can forgive you. It takes repentance. And I think Brother Rick told us all through the prophets, the key is repentance. God would punish His people. He loved His people. That's another misconception in the world. God loves everybody. God wouldn't punish anybody. They haven't read the Bible, have they? God punished His own people, Israel. He drove the northern kingdom into Assyrian captivity, and in the minor prophets, he tells them, I will come by this way no more. In one of the minor prophets, he says, I will love you no more. They refuse to repent. Repentance is the key. Even as a baptized believer, as a Christian, from time to time, we need to repent of our sins. We need to confess our sins unto God. And he says, as a baptized believer, he will forgive us in 1 John 1, verses 7 and 9. If you have a need tonight that we can help you with, if you need to obey the gospel, Rick or Raphael is here. We can help you with that. We can study more with you. If you need to ask for prayers, we can help you with that. Would you come as we stand and sing?